this. Oh, wait a minute. No, I don't. Green stud. Yeah, go ahead. The Senate will please come to order. Clerk, please call the roll. No, I never. You never.
Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. George. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Morse. Nelson. Nelson. Przonski. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. President Courtney.
Four more members of the Senate. I wish they'd come here so we can start the activities here that we got to start.
Okay. Yesterday was the second. 2 and 7 is 9. So.
Oh, you're going to the big glasses. Go.
There you go.
Morning, water, Pastor. Want any water?
He gave me some.
Who's he? Yeah, but he didn't give you the real water. I give you a biblical water. All right, here we go. Okay. A quorum being present, we will post the colors, and Senator Rick Metzger is going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
They bring the American flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The invocation today is by Pastor Barry A. King, Palace of Praise, Church in Aloha.
Lord, we thank you for the goodness of God to every one of us. We thank you for life, for breath, for every heartbeat, and the strength that you provide us day by day. We thank you for your mercies and realizing, according to the words of Jeremiah, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Your compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. I pray, Lord, that the hand of God would be upon this chamber, these senators of men and women, and of the President Courtney, that today you will provide them with the wisdom they need. Mindful again of the wisdom you gave unto Solomon when you visited him in a dream that night in Gibeon, and you said to Solomon, "Ask what you will, and I'll give it to you." And Solomon asked of you in response that you would give him an understanding heart, that he might be able to discern among all the inhabitants of Israel the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, truth and error. And Lord, if there was ever a time in the history of America when we need wisdom, we need the wisdom of God. And you said by the Apostle James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who upbraideth not, but giveth to all men liberally. And today, Lord, I'm asking that your unseen presence, your unseen power, would be so effectual and influential in this chamber, in the hearts of these that have such awesome responsibility. And I ask it of you in the only name you're known unto us by, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God.
Thank you, Pastor. Barry King, we'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Senate to you. Thank you for coming down from Aloha and visiting with us. Honorary pages, Joshua Tobler, Sidney Ausmus. These are the guests of Senator Rosenbaum. Kaylin Rooney, the guest of Senator Devlin. Melanie Ann Nash, the guest of Senator Cruz. Summer Lynn Carlin, guest of Senator Jackie Winters. And Harmony Cartwright is the guest of Senator Telfer. We'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to each and every one of the pages that I have just announced. I know you've been here since early this morning working hard to help the Oregon State Senate finish its business throughout this day. It's an honor and a privilege that you would come to your state capitol. We hope you have a nice day and get a chance to come back and see us again. Under courtesies, just let me say, well, I guess, oh, we are joined by the good Senator Dave Indestructible Nelson, who has come back on the floor. So, Senator Nelson, I hope you felt the warmth of that standing ovation. There was a lot of talk about you when you weren't here, and there was a lot of talk and concern and worry. So I'm really pleased you're here, and I know that every single one of the state senators is pleased. We also want to acknowledge the incredible role that your good wife Alice played in the last several days to take care of you, both not only in terms of your office, your family, as well as you over at the hospital. I know she's a nurse in her own right, so she performed many duties. So do you want to say something? I won't make you say something, but you're up. You're light's not on, so you're going to turn your light on. You do want to talk to us again.
Well,
I don't know if it's in your best interest to speak because I don't want to.
He probably has it.
I don't want you to go back. I don't want you. I don't want to. I don't want to put you back where you came from. But go ahead, please.
Okay. Well, just, let me talk. Would you? I think I just felt all the good vibes, but my grandson put it in perspective. He said, when he came to see me, he says, well, geez, Poppy, he says, if you died, he said, who would be driving me around in the wheat field and let me drive it? So, I mean, it was all about him, and it was good, and sort of put things in perspective, but I do appreciate all the really good things and the prayers and the help, and my voice is a little weak, and I'm feeling a little weak, but, you know, I think I'm doing all right. So, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senators. Appreciate all your help and support.
Thank you, Senator. Great to have you back. Senator Bruce Starr, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Pastor Barry King has left the chamber, but I just wanted to acknowledge and recognize him. He's a longtime friend of my family, my father in particular, and has a thriving ministry there in Aloha. And I really appreciate the prayer that he had for us this morning. Wisdom is something that I think we all need. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bruce. I recognize Senator Jenny Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a job shadow today. His name is Charlie Rosenthal. And he is my neighbor and friend, and he has had a long career as an electrical engineer specializing in computers and did some amazing stuff with the military for which he had top secret clearance. I met Charlie when he was a member of the Multnomah County Tax Supervisory and Conservation Association Board Commission. And because I wanted to learn about tax stuff, this was like 12 years ago. It must have been a premonition. Anyway, I would like to have courtesies extended to my special guest, Charlie Rosenthal. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Burdick. Charlie, we're pleased you'd be here today. I'd like to extend official courtesies to the Senate to you. We hope you have a good shadow experience. I often find myself in the shadow of Senator Jenny Burdick. Senator, like today and a few moments ago in a press conference, Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for that warm welcome for Senator Nelson. I just would ask members to keep a good thought for Senator Winters, who's undergoing a minor medical procedure this morning, and also Senator Hannan, who's progressing well. So it just, Mr. President, courtesies to those who serve, those who have served, and those who are restored to us to serve. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Ferrioli. Thank you for bringing Senator Winters and former Senator Lynn Hannan to our attention. We're in our thoughts and our prayers. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, seated at my desk is the finest violin player in Southern Oregon. I kid you not. This is Abby Coughlin, who is now blushing on statewide TV. Seated with Senator Cruz is her mother, Sandy. Sandy writes a blog that is in the top 100 Christian women's blogs in America, has over 3,000 daily readers. It's called The Reluctant Entertainer. And so seated with Senator Cruz, if you would extend courtesies to her. And then to my left, as is always the case, is my good friend who is seated with Senator Girard, husband and father to this outfit, Paul. Paul is a best-selling author. He has 5 books, 4 of which are out. The 5th one's coming out this fairly soon. He writes, his best-selling book is called No More Christian Nice Guy, and he is also the pioneer of something, Mr. President, I'm sure you would find very interesting. He is the pioneer of a new public school initiative called The Protectors, which seeks to end school bullying. And he speaks all around the nation trying to put a stop to school bullying. So, Mr. President, friends of mine, Sandy, Abby, and then the guy, what's his name, Paul, if you would extend courtesies, I would appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson. Abby, Sandy, and Paul, we're very pleased you could be here. Obviously, it's a very artistic and accomplished family. It's an honor and a privilege that you'd come to your state capitol and to your state senate and be on the floor with us today. It's a real honor and privilege to be here. I've said before, Abby, I'm an accomplished cello player. That's not true. I played the cello for years, but it never worked. It just never worked. I broke my mother's heart, but I tried. So I'm very envious of you to be able to play the strings that well. I would give anything to be able to play a string instrument as well as you obviously can at a very young age. So anyway, it's great to have you here. It's an honor and privilege. Thanks you for coming. Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, please join me in extending further courtesies to two of our honorary pages today, Josh Tobler and Sydney Osmus. They did such a good job of posting the colors. They're both eighth graders at Rome Middle School in Milwaukee. And Josh is interested in law enforcement and history. He plays soccer and football, and I don't know how he finds time, but he's also a volunteer with the elderly. And Sydney is the secretary of the student council and on the yearbook club, and she also volunteers in one of the elementary schools. And Sydney's father, Dan, is also here with her today, so please join me in extending courtesies to all of them.
Thank you. I already acknowledged the pages here, and to their relatives, we're also pleased you could come. The pages, they say, help us get through the day, and thank you for your work. Recognize Senator Telfer, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I know you already mentioned the pages, but I want to extend specific courtesies to Harmony Cartwright, who is here from Pilot Butte Middle School from my district, who Harmony likes to mountain bike and read and volunteer for jobs. She's a great member of the Boys and Girls Club, and hopefully a good photographer in the group so that the picture turns out.
Thank you, Senator Telfer. I recognize Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President, and not wanting Melanie to be left out of the second round. Paige from my district, please extend courtesies to Melanie Ann Nash. She's a 12th grader at Glide High School. She likes writing, drama, and government. Why anybody would like government, I'm not sure. And she's involved in her church, and it's wonderful to see her here. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. Further courtesies? Remonstrances? Message from the House?
Mr. President, I'm speaking for the House has passed House Bills 2217, 2458, and House Joint Resolution 12.
Reports from the conference committees, reports from Senate committees, reports from the SR 8.551 committee, report summary number 2526 distributed to members March 2nd, and 27 was distributed today. This information recorded the Journal of the State's report, so ordered. Reports from special committees. Okay, here we go. I recognize Senator Devlin, Senator Farioli. I believe it's that magic moment that we will go into recess for 15 minutes. Is that correct? All right. I've got the signal, Senator Farioli. Did I get Senator, you, Senator Devlin?
Yes.
All right. So the two caucuses, please go to your caucus room. We'll come back. Oh, let's do this at 10 minutes to the hour, 10 minutes to 11. That way it's a little more than 15 minutes. The Senate will stand in recess until 10 minutes to 11 a.m. The Senate will please come to order, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. George. Gerard. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz. Metzger. Bonis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Morse. Nelson. Nelson. Przanski. Przanski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
He's here. The quorum is present. The Senate recessed following the order of reports from special committees and will resume under propositions and motions. It is so ordered. Recognize Senator Bill Morissette. Where is Senator Morissette? Senator Devlin, do you want to stand up and do something with SCR1? Would someone stand up and do something with SCR1?
Thank you, Mr. President. I actually do not know the date, Mr. President, that Senator Morissette...
Monday, March 9th.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. I move that SCR1 be moved to the agenda on Monday, March 9th.
Senator Richard Devlin has moved that the consideration of SCR1 be taken from its place in today's calendar and placed on the Monday, March 9th calendar. To your motion?
Mr. Chairman, I believe it's at the request of Senator Morissette that it be moved to that date for its expeditious consideration.
Question is on taking SCR1 from today's calendar and placing it on the Monday, March 9th calendar. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. And those opposed, no. The motion is carried. Recognize Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the consideration of Senate Bill 5552 and Senate Bill 581 be made special orders of business at the head of today's third reading calendar.
Senator Devlin has moved that the consideration of SB 5552 and SB 581 be made as special orders of business at the head of today's third reading calendar. Please explain.
Thank you, Mr. President. Given the nature of what we are doing in these bills balancing the 2007 budget, given the necessity of taking expeditious action on these budget items, I think it's best that we consider them at the head of the calendar today.
Thank you. The question is on making SB 5552 and SB 581 special orders of business at the head of today's third reading calendar. Those in favor will say aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. The motion has carried. Action on executive appointments that require the Senate confirmation. Introduction to first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Joint Memorial 11, urging Congress to fund cleanup efforts at Hanford Nuclear Reservation. Senate Joint Memorial 12, urging Congress to enact tax refund and intercept legislation permitting federal tax refunds be used to pay overdue court-ordered financial obligations owed to states. Senate Joint Memorial 13, urging Congress, United States Secretary of Commerce, and Secretary of Interior to support initiatives to introduce hatchery, summer run, and steelhead into Mulall River. Senate Joint Resolution 28, proposed amendment to Oregon Constitution related to Oregon health care providers. Senate Memorial 1, urging Congress to pass legislation directing federal agency to establish accurate measure of poverty for determination of eligibility for federal programs. Senate Bill 658 relating to special campus security officers. Senate Bill 659 relating to animal researchers. Senate Bill 660 relating to Oregon State Capitol Foundation and appropriate money. Senate Bill 664 relating to pilot project for temporary transfer of water rights. Senate Bill 665 relating to employment practices. Senate Bill 66 relating to State Secretary of State and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 667 relating to pit bulls, Senate Bill 668 relating to green cleaning, Senate Bill 669 relating to highway speeds, Senate Bill 670 relating to mandatory reporters of abuse, Senate Bill 671 relating to capital planning commission and appropriate money, Senate Bill 672 relating to false accusations, Senate Bill 673 relating to loan repayment programs for every money in court emergency, Senate Bill 674 relating to olive oil, Senate Bill 675 relating to solar access, Senate Bill 676 relating to industrial hemp and appropriate money, Senate Bill 677 relating to occupancy of landlord's premises by employee, Senate Bill 678 relating to state scenic highways, Senate Bill 680 relating to civic actions preventing an emergency, Senate Bill 681 relating to maintenance of limited murder, Senate Bill 682 relating to conditional release providing for criminal sentence reduction requires approval by a two-thirds majority, Senate Bill 683 relating to juvenile offenders and providing for criminal sentence reduction requires approval by a two-thirds majority, Senate Bill 684 relating to Wapato Jail or appropriate money in court emergency, Senate Bill 685 relating to extensions of credit, Senate Bill 686 relating to private indecency, Senate Bill 687 relating to lawyer trust accounts and appropriate money, Senate Bill 688 relating to beverage containers, Senate Bill 689 relating to highways, Senate Bill 690 relating to personal income tax compliance and prescribing effective date, Senate Bill 692 relating to practicing reflexology, Senate Bill 695 relating to school breakfast program providing money in court emergency, Senate Bill 696 relating to sentencing and providing criminal sentence reduction requires approval by a two-thirds majority, Senate Bill 700 relating to reintegration of veterans in court emergency, Senate Bill 702 relating to home care workers, Senate Bill 703 relating to education and court emergency, Senate Bill 704 relating to income tax withholding and prescribing effective dates, Senate Bill 705 relating to campaign finance and court emergency, Senate Bill 706 relating to access to toilet facilities, Senate Bill 708 relating to employment by law enforcement agencies, Senate Bill 709 relating to local government income taxes, Senate Bill 710 relating to education and appropriate money court emergency, Senate Bill 711 relating to education emergency procurement for finance capital construction projects and court emergency, Senate Bill 712 relating to safe financial administration court emergency, Senate Bill 752 relating to health care services, Senate Bill 754 relating to persons who are committed to certain misdemeanor claims.
Transfer to the President's desk referral. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 36 relating to Tolling Interstate Bridges, Senate Bill 44 relating to kindergarten court emergency, Senate Bill 185 relating to State Department of Agriculture Agreement, Senate Bill 189 relating to Forest Land Fire Protection, Senate Bill 195 relating to Wave Energy Court Emergency, Senate Bill 233 relating to Carbon Pickens Rights and Court Emergency, Senate Bill 248 relating to Juvenile Proceedings.
These are past the count. Senator Bates, do you want to do something now or you want to wait? Okay. We will now proceed to the special orders of business. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 5552, relating to State Financial Administration, Preparing Money Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Margaret Carter, who will carry this measure.
Mr. President and colleagues, this is the bill that you've all been waiting for. I say to you today that this is a bill about shared pain and shared responsibility. Shared pain in that this legislative assembly would really, really like to be able to say to the greatest degree possible that the most vulnerable in our society won't have to be like the front pages of the Oregonian that carried Mr. Schmidt in 2003 when the legislature possibly could have saved us from using $4,000 a month as opposed to $400 a month. I am saying to you today with great assurance that this budget looked at faces and not just statistics. This budget looked at the most vulnerable in our society and it said, what can we do to be supporters of those for which many of us stand on their shoulders today? That's what this budget is all about. Senate Bill 5552 contains all of the budget reductions, fund shifts, and federal stimulus funds needed to reconcile the statewide budget for 2007 and 2009. The March 2009 revenue forecast shows a general fund deficit of $855 million for the current biennium. That, combined with the Department of Human Services rebalance, colleagues, have driven the total reconciliation amount to $861.5 million. The bill contains $311.1 million in budget reductions and fund shifts. It also accounts for $230.2 million in federal stimulus funds for the Department of Human Services and another $171 million in federal stimulus for the state school fund and the Department of Education. Now, contrary to what many have said about closing Oregon school, this legislature has taken great pride in the fact that we have worked with school districts, and my district of Portland certainly heard me, and they have joined us halfway in making sure that our schools are not closed, even though we are in times of low resources and very, very high needs. We have 20% increase in caseworkers for Children's Services Division, and yet we are cutting people to try to cut out whatever level of expenses that is going to be too great for this budget to manage. We have an 18% increase in food stamps. One lady said to me last week, a man came to her desk. He'd been in the workplace for 30 years. And yes, Mr. President, he was embarrassed and he cried before he left the office because for the first time in his life, he didn't have a job. Consequently, no food to put on the table of his family. This budget has taken in consideration the needs of the most vulnerable. And yes, that gentleman who for 30 years has worked and had a strong sense of pride about not having government handouts. But I want each of you to know here today that government handout is the only handout that is there right now because of the international, the world financial system going awry. The remainder of the deficit is covered by $82.9 million in other fund balances that are transferred to the general fund and Senate Bill 581, $2.2 million in general fund addition, $9.3 million in lottery fund savings and changes, $53.2 million from the emergency fund balance, and $2.5 million in actions taken by the executive branch to generate personal service savings. We have very carefully, we being the co-chairs of this body, the legislature, worked very carefully and very thoughtfully in being fair across the board. And oh yes, many of you have come to me and said, but I want you to save this department. I want you to save that department. Well, everybody, you know what? Many of you know this phrase. A little lump leavens much. And so what we've done is to be fair across the board. And yes, everybody had to take a hit. Now, I know that there are those, and forgive me, because you guys all know I'm demonstrative. But there are those whining all over the place to you about you cut this and you cut that. Yeah, we did. You give us some more resources, we would not have cut anything. But the fact remains that we had to cut. And that's why I call this bill Shared Pain and Shared Responsibility Model, because we all are going to experience it. The bill also replaces $13.3 million in general fund for the state school fund with lottery funds in order to utilize discretionary lottery funds that were available after the actions taken by the committee. There are a number of technical other funds and federal funds limitation increases that are also included for some agencies. These increases are needed to enable ongoing agency operations. Let me just cite you a few. Even though there are a number of supplemental limitation increases included in Senate Bill 5552, including Department of Fish and Wildlife, and I'm doing this because I know already before I even take my seat, there are those of you who have found reasons to vote no, and there are those of you who have found reason to vote yes. I don't care what your reason is, let me give you this information. We added $787,000 federal funds expenditure limitation in the natural resources program area to accommodate federal monies for sudden oak death. Department of Fish and Wildlife, $600,000 other funds expenditure limitations and removing $600,000 from federal funds expenditure limitation to correctly reflect the expenditure category. Office of Private Health Partnerships, Oregon State Board of Nursing, Oregon Board of Dentistry, Oregon Board of Psychologist Examiners, Oregon Military Department, and the list goes on. But I say to you, it has been the role and the goal of the co-chairs to be honest in our reproach and diligent in our efforts to work fairly, sincerely, and with great thought and intestinal fortitude about the faces of the people who make up this great state and are in need of their government in these tumultuously financial times, bad times. But I say to you today with great belief that as we ride the airplane of life via this budget, fasten your seat belts, because the ride will be very, very bumpy in some spots. But the one true thing that I can say to you today, even though the ride will be bumpy, and we might not arrive on the ground with dignity and with grace, but we will arrive safely. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5552.
Thank you, Senator Carter. Discussion. Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would like first to thank the good co-chair for the work that was done by the committee, particularly with the Oregon Youth Authority. But I know other people have seen that there's been quite a bit of response from the co-chairs, and that's been much appreciated. This bill's one of those bills that's great conflict for me, not in terms of a conflict of interest, but just a sort of a conflict in values. For a long time, of course, we've been counseling that reductions in the cost of government is the prudent course. And we started suggesting reductions a year ago when we started to see the contractions in the private sector out in the real world, far from Salem. Main Street businesses were worried. The rate of layoffs at our manufacturing facilities was starting to increase, and the numbers that we had left the Capitol building with in June were soft numbers, and we all knew that. We knew that the projections of $2 billion in additional and unscheduled revenue represented a terrible risk, that if we spent that money, we might find ourselves someday, like I said earlier, off the cliff by 10 feet and suffering from the effects of gravity. And that's where we are. So if those reductions had been made at the time when we started raising cautionary notes, perhaps in the legislative special session in 08, we wouldn't find ourselves here today having to have the struggles that we're having. But that never happened. And perhaps that's understandable. Human nature being what it is, folks don't want to embrace the negative. They feel that if you start focusing on the negative, you actually create more negativity. But there's also a realistic approach that perhaps would serve us and would have served us better. This bill, like every bill, has some things that are wonderful and some things that are just unconscionable. And I'll let other people eloquently discuss what's good about them. I think the carrier of the bill is fully capable of explaining what's good about the bill. When we take $447,000 out of the damaged trust fund, that was solely created and promised to provide housing for the mentally ill patients of the state, and we're taking that money. At the same time, when we're talking about appropriating dollars for low-income housing, and at the same time we're expecting stimulus dollars to go into low-income housing, it doesn't make any sense to take this pittance of money away from the housing dedicated to the mentally ill. That seems illogical to me. When we pull $4 million out of 911 call centers, that strikes at the heart of our ability to respond to emergencies, particularly in rural areas, where you know those cell phone towers and operating the 911 system is so critically important. And also, the transfers of the dedicated 911 monies may not even be legal. We've learned a bitter lesson when we transferred money from Medicare, Medicaid funds or the MUPL monies. We learned a bitter lesson when we raided Department of Veterans Affairs dollars back in the 80s. That turned out to be an obligation the state had to repay. So it may not even be legal. You've all heard from the OLCC operators that they believe that a contract's been violated in this action, and that may end us up in some legal ramifications down the road. We take $3 million out of the Bureau of Labor and Industries Wage Security Fund at a time when unemployment is increasing and will rapidly continue to increase. And the logic of that may be questionable at this time, since if you take money out of the Wage Security Fund, it may not even be necessary if we looked around at the other funds' budgets that have huge untapped resources. There's a couple of $100 million in other agencies that aren't being touched. We have the state treasurer's office, which when you look at their budget, there's $0 being taken from other funds, $0 being taken from transfers, $0 being taken from revenue sources, and $0 being taken from general fund for the state treasurer's office. And so, you know, the cuts aren't being shared equally, and there are some resources that are out there that have not been tapped. We're taking $3.5 million from Fish and Wildlife Deferred Maintenance Account. And if you remember, just a few weeks ago, we voted the stimulus package that provided dollars for deferred maintenance to Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. So with one hand, we're borrowing money over a 20-year period with a relatively high bonded interest rate, and we're turning right around and scooping up the same deferred maintenance money away with this action. A lot of us have struggled over the idea of cutting K-12 school days. And we've talked about the question about whether or not to use the school stability fund. $106 million out of the school stability fund would be obviously a use of that fund and early. But I believe we're on track to put about $150 million into the school stability fund the first day of the new legislative session, or the first day of the new biennium. So we would come through this process, if we used $106 million now, with $500 million in that fund, starting the new biennium. And then finally, I think the issue of our promise in the 08 special legislative session to fund 39 OSP troopers for basic 24/7 highway coverage, we are breaking that promise. We're going to pull $500,000 out of Oregon State Police's new trooper budget. And then you have to wonder about whether or not people believe that we have any credibility left when we do, with one hand, something to add, and then just sometimes weeks later or months later, we just take all that, break all those promises and take those monies away. Mr. President, I will understand quite well why people will vote for this bill, because we're not going to balance the budget unless we do cuts. That's really, really clear. I quite well will understand those who will vote against this bill, because they've taken a look at the details of the budget, and some of the reductions that we're making are really difficult for people to get their minds around in light of our recent actions. And finally, there are literally hundreds of millions of dollars in state budgets, sometimes whole brand departments within government that aren't being touched. And we just, I guess at the end of the day, I'm going to have to vote no on this bill. But I can't do that in good conscience without acknowledging to the chairman and the members of the Ways and Means Committee that the work that they've done is good work. And it was hard work, and it's honorable work. And that there's disagreements about the product ought to be no great surprise to anyone. But at the end of the day, breaking these promises and not distributing the cuts fairly forces me to vote no on this bill. Mr. President, I appreciate your indulgence. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Ferrioli. Senator Jeff Cruz has yielded his time to Senator Ferrioli. Further discussion? Senator Whitsitt, please.
Thank you, President Courtney. You know, I very much wanted to support the hard work of Co-Chair Carter and of Subcommittee Chair Berger and all the other Ways and Means leadership on this issue in their efforts to deal with the closure of an $855 million hole in the budget. I mean, I think they've done a remarkable effort. The process was the most fair that I have ever experienced in the Ways and Means Committee since I've been on that committee, and I've started out as a freshman on the Ways and Means Committee on the Education Subcommittee. Having said that, I cannot in good conscience support selective budget reductions that require the closure of every court in the state of Oregon. Oregon courts will close Fridays from March 13th through June 30th for the want of $3 million. According to State Court Administrator Kingsley Click, the Judicial Department budget is 87% personal services, and 90% of that is derived from general fund. According to Chief Justice Paul DeMunez, after all other possibilities have been considered, the only option is to furlough all judicial branch employees for 16 days. He's chosen to do that by closing the courts on Fridays from March 13th through June 30th. The Chief Justice talked to me in my office on Friday, and that morning he said there are no other alternatives to his actions. I have no reason to disbelieve the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Oregon. The results will be the closure of all the state courts on Fridays and the elimination of all public access to those courts on Fridays until July 1st of this year. This rebalance reduction to the judicial branch of the government is simply untenable in my view. And for that reason, I will reluctantly be a no vote today.
Thank you, Senator Whitesitt. Further discussion? Senator Carter, you wish to close?
I want to thank everybody for their kind words this morning, because we really did work hard, and I'm appreciative of the fact that you recognize it, so I'm very pleased with that. But let me say to you that as you look at the damage situation that our dear chair of the Republican Party brought up, we used only interest dollars from the damage trust. There were no plans for the use of those dollars at all. When we made sweeps, every department at the close of their fiscal year should send those dollars back to the general fund anyway, because that's where it belongs. In times of plenty, we don't ask for them. But in times of hardships, we sweep. In terms of the 911 call centers, we will take a very good look at what is legally possible to take. Again, general fund dollars. And we have until June 30th to do that. But I want to assure you, colleagues, that we will be taking a good look at that. In terms of the cultural trust, there were $11.8 million in the cultural trust. We only took $1.8 million from that. $10 million is still in the cultural trust. Lest you forget, let me say, cultural trust is a dollar-for-dollar match for any of us that decide to use that means. Every dollar you give, you get it back in your tax returns. That money goes to the general fund. Only $1.8 million was taken out of the cultural trust, and $10 million is still there. In terms of the judicial budget, Mr. President, the Judicial Department has a budget of $321.4 million general fund, $377.7 million in total funds, and 2,074 positions. As of January 2009, the department had
an unexpended $65.6 million general fund balance. You should also note, and I have not seen anything come out to this regard, we had first cut what was legally asked every other department, shared pain, shared responsibility, 5% decrease. But we went back and looked at that again because of you on this floor here today, and we found another $5 million, which brought that amount down to $11.1 million. Give us a little credit here. Ha, ha, ha. The general fund reduction only totaled $11.1 million. And of this amount, $3.7 million are budget savings, $3.9 million are fund shifts, $3.1 million in employee furloughs. This is the only real reduction. $300,000 in mandated payment savings from court operations. The only reduction is $3.1 million. The department states, and that is truly being unfair, but we wanted to do it because we wanted your support. We went back and gave them $5 million. The department states that all employees will be furloughed 16 days this biennium. According to the department, this translates into a 20% reduction in compensation for non-judge positions. However, you should know that 20% of the department's remaining salary and wages budget is not included in judges' salaries, which cannot be reduced, equals $4.7 million. There are choices all of us make as heads of departments. The department decides what they're going to do. This legislature is not asking the department to close course. We are not. That's a choice that the department is making. We can't help what choices the department makes. They manage that, and we are not trying to micromanage anybody. The department has not taken any actions to anticipate reductions like it was began last fall for executive and legislative branch agencies to control costs. I can't help that. I'd love to say I'm a mama for everybody, but I'm not. So today, allow your conscience to be your guide and support 5552.
Thank you, Rebecca. The gentleman has demanded a call of the Senate. He is joined by Senator Ferrioli and Senator Verger. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, and the sergeant of arms will attend. Go ahead. Start. Clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson.
Here.
Bates.
Here.
Bonamici.
Here.
Boquist.
Here.
Burdick.
Here.
Carter. Devlin.
Here.
Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Winters. President Courtney.
Here. Who's missing? All right, all members of the call are present. Recognize Senator Gerard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I need to declare a potential conflict.
Please place your state your potential conflict of interest.
First, my brother is a liquor agent, and second, I may or may not have interest in assisted care facilities.
Thank you. Your potential conflict of interest is on the record. I will also declare a potential conflict of interest in that I work for Western Oregon University. Anyone else? All right. The question now arises upon the third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 5552. Those in opinion bill shall pass. So please say aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Telfer. Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist.
No.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Yes.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dinkfelder. Ferrioli.
No.
George.
No.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
No.
Metzger.
Aye.
Juan Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzezinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
No.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Winters. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Cruz. Starr. Telfer. Whitsett. 21 ayes.
The Senate Bill 5552 have received a constitutional majority declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 581 relates to the financial administration, party money, and court emergency.
Recognize Senator Johnson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 581 comes to you from your Joint Committee on Ways and Means, where it passed 18 yes, 3 no, and 1 excused. Senate Bill 581 implements the legislative changes that are necessary to rebalance the state's 07-09 biennial budget. This bill, commonly referred to as the Program Change Bill, is a companion bill to Senate Bill 5552, which is the Rebalance Plan's disappropriation actions. Senate Bill 581 includes provisions for the transfer of a portion of other funds balances from 40 state accounts and subaccounts to the general fund. These transfers total $82.9 million and are made in lieu of general fund budget cuts. The measure also establishes the School Day Restoration Fund, which is a new account for the remainder of the 07-09 biennium and designed to help school districts avoid the loss of any additional school days to the greatest extent possible. Senate Bill 5552 appropriates $51 million to this new fund. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 581.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. We're now on a discussion of the measure. Senator Cruz, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the measure.
To the measure, please.
Colleagues, I want to take you back to 2002, when we had five special sessions. Before those special sessions started, there was a work group formed called the Gang of Five that went in to look at various aspects of budgets and where we could make reductions. The frustration I had with that process was that they defined the parameters of what we could look at. And we were never able to go into programs or funds outside of those parameters. And the same thing has happened here. And it has been referenced by others on the earlier bill. Interesting little thing happened in Roseburg about 3 days ago. There was an accident. Power was lost in Roseburg, and the 911 system went down because they don't have a backup generator. So obviously there is need in 911, yet we're taking money out of that fund. I would also point out that in 2002, when the Gang of Five looked at taking money from fee-driven accounts, they were told that they couldn't do it. Now, suddenly, a few years later, it seems to be okay. I find that troubling. I find it troubling from the perspective of people who are paying those fees into those funds, and those accounts are being managed well, managed to the point where they have surpluses, which any good business would try to have, so they can cover any contingencies that might come up. And so we are rewarding those programs by taking their money. We are rewarding good management by taking the money that their good management has created. I also find it troubling, Mr. President, that we are budgeting to a number that we know will not be the number that this biennium ends with. And I find that very troubling. All you need to do is look at the trend to know that we're going to be down another couple hundred million anyway. And we should be budgeting for something that's more real other than just a number that was thrown on the table. Mr. President, we continue to treat this situation we're in now in many ways similar to the way we treated the recession of 2002. Colleagues, it's time we woke up to the realization that this is not the same situation we were in back then. This is not a recession, my friends. This is a depression. This is something that will be long-lasting. It's time to look at doing things in a different way. It's time to look at other fund sources, because there's a lot of other funds in our budget that we don't even look at. I also find it very troubling that in all of this, where we end up taking cuts is in a lot of core service areas where a lot of the new things we have created over the last few years have escaped notice. I feel it's unfortunate that I voted against the last bill and will vote against this bill, but colleagues, we need to look at things in a different way. We could have done better, and I wish we had.
Further discussion. Recognize Senator Carter, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess I don't want to be tit for tat, but I'd like to give the members of this floor assurances that we look at every line item, whether it's general fund, other funds, federal funds, lottery funds. Is there another category? We look at that one as well.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Pozanski, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. A question on the carrier.
Would the carrier yield?
She does.
Carrier will.
Thank you for taking the question. I know that you've had an opportunity to review an Attorney General opinion that was dated the 26th of February regarding the 911 funds. Could you just put on the record as to how we will be proceeding regarding this issue as it pertains to Senate Bill 581?
I would be happy to. The memorandum that you make reference to is dated February 26, 2009. It is addressed to Steve Wolf from Serena D. Hewitt, Assistant Attorney General of the Government Services Section. Let me quote first from the memo and then speak directly or respond directly to your question. I quote now. From page 3, we conclude that the state is prohibited from diverting taxes collected from cell phone and voiceover accounts from the emergency communications account to the general fund pursuant to the Net 911 Improvement Act. Taxes collected from these accounts may be expended only in support of 911 or enhanced 911 services. The Act does not prohibit the state from transferring taxes collected from landlines to the general fund. Because the Department of Revenue does not segregate those sources of funds, they are in the process of doing so now. This memorandum was received the day after the bill passed out of committee. I am assured both by the co-chair and by the Legislative Fiscal Office that due diligence is being applied to make sure that no funds prohibited from being taken are taken. However, this is right now a work in progress and will be reviewed when the segregation arrives from the Department of Revenue, will be thoroughly reviewed by LFO. We have until the end of June to make the transfer, which allows ample time for corrections if corrections are called for and necessary.
Thank you. To the bill.
To the bill.
Mr. President, I will be supporting the bill as Senate Bill 581, as I did on the first bill, which was the one carried by the co-chair. I am assured that based on what is on the record that we will, in fact, make certain we're in compliance with what the law requires. I understand that we will more than likely see some type of other additional legislation to take care of this issue, and or that the governor, if the governor is at the point of signing this, may choose to use his line item veto power to correct that part, which will, in fact, require us to do another rebalancing, which we are anticipating before the end of this biennium. And thank you, Mr. President, and also thank you to the carrier for establishing the record today.
Thank you, Senator Pozanski. Further discussion? Senator Johnson, you wish to close?
I do, Mr. President. I think that this was a fair and transparent process as acknowledged on the floor. There were negotiations with the co-chairs. Public testimony was taken for 3 days in different issue areas. The cuts lists, both the actual disappropriation as well as the fund sweeps, were actively debated for 2 days in the Ways and Means subcommittees. Adjustments were made to the final product as a result. Contrary to the Gang of Five, which occurred behind closed door that many of us were not part of, and we shared that level of frustration. I think that we have maximum assurance that this process was as transparent as it could possibly be completed, albeit under a very short timeline, to avoid the draconian across-the-board cuts that would result were the legislature not to act. I urge your support of Senate Bill 581.
Thank you. The gentleman has demanded a call of the Senate. He is joined by Senator Burdick and Senator Dinkfelder. Doorkeepers will bar the doors. The Sergeant of Arms will attend. The clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
I believe all members subject to the call are present. Just for the record, to be safe, potential conflict of interest, I work for Western Oregon University on Senate Bill 581. The question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 581. Those opinion bills to pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Winters. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Cruz. Starr. Telfer. Whitsett. 21 ayes.
And Senate Bill 581, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Resolution 5, in memoriam, Gene Lensman.
Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson, please. Senator Atkinson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, on your desks, everyone will see a photograph of someone that is memorialized in SCR 5. Mr. President, you also see, if you open up your bill file, that this is at the request, first time, of myself and my little brother. Gene Lansman is an institution in the community of Ashland and also in the community of Mount Ashland. And I would urge all of you to vote aye for this measure, because what we're doing is we're celebrating someone who had a huge impact on the community and also of the mountain that is Mount Ashland, but also on a couple of kids that went on to do a few things in skiing. Mr. Lansman never married, even though he was on the Austrian national team, was recruited to come to Sun Valley, came to Sun Valley, and then came to Mount Ashland, which he thought was right on par with Sun Valley, and never left. As he never married, there is a whole community of young people, and some of us that aren't as young as we once were, that looked up to Gene, and we were all part of his family, that were greatly affected by his humor, his savvy marketing ability, and his absolute love for the science of skiing. Anywhere you go today, if you'll look at the picture that's on your desk, you'll see him in a race bib. This is actually a photograph that my brother took of him. This was the last race that he did before he passed away. He was often the forerunner, which means he was the person that would go in the beginning of a race to make sure the timing equipment worked and to set a time to beat for the rest of the race for the whole season. In this forerun that he did, he was not allowed to compete in the race. He foreran not only that, but for about 35 years, foreran statewide championships, several series that we used to have, and even professional. And the reason why we wouldn't allow him to race is because he was so fast, he'd beat everybody else. In fact, in this race, even sick, nobody could beat him. At the height of my ski career, I struggled to beat this guy. He raced at nationals as an American, formerly an Austrian, and he raced in the senior division and always was in the top five. When the city, our mountain used to be owned by Stevens Pass in Washington, and Stevens Pass decided it was going to sell Mount Ashland and rip all the chairs out and take them up to Washington. And the community rallied behind, and the whole community of Ashland purchased Mount Ashland. There was Gene Landsman, a man who lived in the lodge, who rallied the troops, who rallied people, who rallied the whole communities, not only in Jackson County, but in Siskiyou County, in Klamath County, in Josephine County, to save our hill. He is a living legend, even though we lost him last February, and I would encourage all of you to vote yes on this measure. The other thing that is special about this is that by voting on it today, I'm very happy to have my colleagues from Ashland, Representative Buckley and my good friend Senator Bates, on this bill, because if we are successful and pass this bill, I'm going to present it to the mountain and probably hang it in the lodge that is in Mount Ashland, a place where he used to live and loves. Mr. President, I thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson. Further discussion? The question now arises upon the final reading, the third reading, and the final passage of SCR 5. Those the opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Winters, 21 ayes.
SCR 5, having received constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
SJM 1, urging Congress to allow Oregon veterans to pay in state home loans at any time after a veteran separates from service.
Just before I recognize the carrier, we will go to 1210. We're going to 1210, then we're going to shut her down. So thank you for allowing me to say that on the record. Recognize Senator Frank Morris, who will carry SJM 1. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a memorial to Congress on a very important issue. What this memorial does, it urges Congress to allow Oregon veterans to obtain state home loans at any time after veterans separate from service. The Congress of the United States recently increased the cap on qualified veterans' mortgage bonds to $100 million, providing significant benefits to Oregon veterans due to low interest rates and the stability of the institution providing the home loans. Under current law, and this is the issue of the memorial, under current federal law, veterans lose their eligibility to access the Oregon Home Loan Program 25 years after a veteran separates from service. Colleagues, what this bill does, it urges Congress to correct that and allow the benefits to accrue to veterans throughout their lifetime. Urge an aye vote, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Frank Morris. Discussion on the Senate Joint Memorial. Question now arises upon the third reading, the final passage of SJM 1. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please read the call the roll.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juan Sanderson. Juan Rowe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Winters, 29 ayes.
SJM 1, having received the constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
SJM 2, urging Congress to enact legislation creating a statewide transportation system to provide transportation for Oregon veterans to and from medical facilities.
Recognized Senator Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this is a veterans bill as well. SJM 2 urges the President of the United States, the Senate, and the House of Representatives of the United States to enact legislation that creates statewide transportation system in Oregon that would provide transportation to medical facilities for the veterans. Oregon veterans reside in rural areas. Many of them do. And remote areas and must travel significant distances to access medical care. Most veterans' health facilities are based on veterans' population in particular areas, so many of them are in the larger population centers. What this bill does is we want to offer community-based outpatient clinics, medical centers, and medical facilities, and we want transportation to them. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Morissette. Further discussion? The question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of SJM 2. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonas Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Winters, 29 ayes.
SJM 2, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the bill.
SJM 3, urging Congress to enact legislation providing complete health care for all honorably discharged veterans and dependents.
Recognized Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. SJM 3 urges Congress to enact legislation providing complete health care for all honorably discharged veterans and their dependents. Mr. President, this is the third in a series of three memorials to Congress we are doing on this floor today dealing with veterans. There's a difference from a lot of the other memorials we do to Congress, which we just do. This one, and I want to give credit where credit's due, credit to the governor's office and his task force on veterans affairs, because not only do we have these memorials that we're passing today, but that task force is also has champions back in Congress to see that action is taken on these memorials. So this is actually something that may have positive results. And a lot of our memorials or resolutions to Congress do not. But I do want to give credit where credit is due on this, the governor and his task force. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Further discussion? Question now arises upon the third reading of the final pass, SJM 3. Those opinion bills are passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger, Bonas Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Winters, 29 ayes.
SJM3, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 104, relating to fee schedule for federal operating programs and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring to you Senate Bill 104, which is a minor but still important technical correction to a bill that was adopted in 2007. This affects Oregon's largest industrial sources of air emissions. Federal law requires that these companies have operating permits and also require that the permit fees cover the full cost of the program. The 2007 bill increased the permit fees to cover the cost of the permitting program, and it has the full support of the Associated Oregon Industries and the Northwest Pulp and Paper Association, which represent the permitted companies. To ensure that revenue keeps up with costs, federal law also requires that these fees be indexed to inflation. As a streamlining measure, the 2007 bill directed the Department of Environmental Quality to adopt a two-year fee schedule rather than going through a costly rulemaking process to set fees each year. However, the bill inadvertently prevented DEQ from transitioning to the two-year schedule without losing revenue because the data that DEQ needs to calculate inflation isn't available by the time the schedule needs to be adopted. So, colleagues, Senate Bill 104 corrects this problem by making two changes. First, it ties the definition of inflation to the federal definition, which is published 4 months earlier. Second, it allows DEQ to update the fee schedule more than once a biennium. This would accomplish the original goal that the 2000 legislation enabled, and it will ensure that the fee schedule accurately reflects inflation. I would like to emphasize that Senate Bill 104 does not increase fees nor create any new fees. Like the 2007 bill, it has full support of AOI and, as I mentioned, the Northwest Pulp and Paper Association. AOI's John Ledger wrote to the DEQ director, Dick Peterson, noting that AOI supports passage of this bill because it corrects an error in the 2007 bill and brings the fee level to the agreed-upon amount. They also testified in support in my committee. I would like to commend these groups for their ongoing commitment to this agreement and urge your support for Senate Bill 104.
Thank you, Senator Dingfelder. Further discussion? You wish to close? Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 104. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Winters, voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Nelson, Starr, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
Senate Bill 104, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 170, Glenn Roll Airports.
Recognize Senator Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Many airports in Oregon have adjacent private properties with access to airport taxiways and runways. These properties may be developed just as any private industrial or commercial property is developed, with the additional consideration that they maintain access to the public airport runway. In Federal Aviation Administration lingo, these are called through-the-fence properties. As their aviation access crosses the airport property line, figuratively referred to as the fence. Currently, three through-the-fence pilot programs are in operation. They are at Aurora, Scappoose, and Baker City. The purpose of the pilot program is to encourage use of the airport for benefit of the airport as well as the local community. Senate Bill 170A makes three more airports eligible, so the total number of through-the-fence pilot programs could be as many as six. As provided by Senate Bill 170A, the pilot programs must be at Oregon's rural airports outside of the Willamette Valley. I urge an aye vote on Senate Bill 170.
Thank you, Senator Virginia. Discussion. Recognize Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I rise to announce a potential conflict of interest. Scappoose Airport is a voluntary participant in the First Through the Fence pilot project, and my husband owns a business at the Scappoose Airport.
Senator Johnson, your potential conflict of interest regarding Senate Bill 170 has now been placed in the record. Further discussion? Closure? Thank you. The question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 170. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Winters, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 170, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 187, related to State Department of Agriculture refunding payments.
Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, currently, the Department of Agriculture has to make payment refunds, which is a very rare thing, down to the level of $5, and it actually costs them more than that to do the paperwork. All this bill does is increase the base amount to $25. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. We're now in a discussion. I recognize Senator Gerard.
A question, the carrier.
Would the carrier yield? The carrier will yield.
Why does it cost $31.45 to issue a refund check?
Mr. President, nothing government does is ever cheap.
Further discussion? You wish to close? Question on rise upon the 30 and the final passage of Senate Bill 187. Those opinion bills will pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will please call the roll.
Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Excused. Winters. President Courtney.
Yes. Senator Cruz, yes. Does everybody watch the board? Is that where we want to be? Okay.
Excused. Winters, voting no. Boquist, Ferrioli, Gerard. 26 ayes.
Senate Bill 187, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. We now have the first reading of House measures, please. Excuse me. Is it for what I think it's going to be? Well, can we just get through this, and then we get under the announcements, I'll go to you, and I have. Okay, thank you. So he'll turn his light off. Okay. We'll now go to the first reading of House measures, please.
House Joint Resolution 12, encouraging public to take measures to decrease incidence of skin cancer. House Bill 2217, relating to criminal record checks by State Department's Recreation Department. House Bill 2458, relating to commodity commissions.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures. Okay. Third reading of House measures. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2172, relating to relief from sex offender reporting.
Recognize Senator Boquist, please, who will carry.
Mr. President, HB 2172 comes to your Committee on Judiciary, has no revenue impact and no fiscal, came out unanimous with a due pass, and modifies the procedure for obtaining relief from sex offender reporting. Good bill should pass.
Thank you. Discussion. Question now, eyes upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2172. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Perioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juan Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Wanamichi. Boquist. Burdick. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Winters. 29 ayes.
House Bill 2172, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2172, relating to relief from sex offender reporting.
Recognize Senator Doug Whitsett, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2174 was filed at the request of the Department of State Police. Passed out of the House 54-6, passed your Senate Judiciary Committee with unanimous consent. This bill has no fiscal impact, no revenue impact. It is a housekeeping bill intended to fix an inadvertent omission to House Bill 2333 from the 2007 session. This bill would enhance public safety, and I urge you and I vote.
Thank you, Senator Whitsett. Discussion. Question now arises upon a third reading and the final passage of Senate House Bill 2174. Those opinion bills pass. The others opposed. No. Clerk, please call the roll.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dinkfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Juan Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzezinski. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Winters. 29 ayes.
House Bill 2174. Excused. Constitutional majority declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2305. Relating to shareholder voting.
Senator Bonamici, take us home.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 2305 is from the Oregon State Bar Business Law Section. It corrects an unintended problem with the current law regarding shareholder class voting requirements. The law now requires that a series but not a class of stock vote together as a group if an amendment would affect a series in the same or substantially similar way. The changes in this bill are consistent with the protection of holders of certain series or classes of stock in a corporation. They correct an unintended consequence resulting from the current statute. I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bonamici. Discussion? Question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2305. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dinkfelder. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juan Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson.
I gotta have to keep a quorum.
Bates.
I gotta keep a quorum.
Bates.
Do not leave.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick. Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse.
Yes,
Winters, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill, House Bill 2305, Mr. Cutchin, declared passed. Senator Larry George, what purpose do you rise?
I ask for unanimous consent to suspend the rules in order to enter a potential conflict of interest on Senate Bill 581.
Senator George has asked unanimous consent to allow him to enter a potential conflict of interest on Senate Bill 552 and Senate Bill 581. Are there any objections? There are no objections. Please enter your potential conflict of interest on first Senate Bill 552.
Mr. President, the same on both, but I own a company that pays fees directly to these agencies that the remainders are being swept.
The potential conflict of interest in placing the record on the Senate Bill 5552. Please enter your potential conflict of interest on Senate Bill 581.
Again, Mr. President, thank you very much. I own companies that pay fees directly into the Department of Agriculture that these fees have been swept.
Thank you. Your potential conflict of interest in Senate Bill 581 is now placed officially on the record. Recognize Senator Margaret Carter for purposes of a remonstrance. Is there any objection to going back to a remonstrance? There is none. Senator Margaret Carter, enter your remonstrance on the record.
Thank you, Mr. President and colleague. I want to stand corrected and apologize for referring to the third branch of government as a department. My complete apologies publicly because it is a third branch of government, the Judicial Department. Thank you.
Thank you. We now move to the usual normal order of business, and we are now under the other business of the Senate. According to SR 8.403, committee referral list number 56, the Senate distributed to members March 2nd. The referrals recorded in the Journal and Stage Report is so ordered. Are there announcements? Any announcements? I see no red lights. If there are no further announcements, without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 tomorrow, Wednesday, March 4th. The Senate now stands in adjournment.